MSWpodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, Kaysen, we'll start like this. MSWpodcast@gmail.com. Email in if you have a comment on Marbula 1, because we like to read them on the show. That's MSWpodcast@gmail.com. Manderwaff. Get it? Ha! See what I did there? Hello, everybody! Welcome to the Marvel Sports Worldwide Podcast. My name is Brendan.
And I'm Commander Wolf.
Episode 154. And this is May. This is May of 2023. Like, I get to say this now. Like, the date, May 6, 2023. And then you could, like, take this and hear me say this, and then go listen to when I was recording in 2019 or 2020, whatever year we started.
2018.
No, it wasn't 18.
Right? Or no, wait, no, you're right, it's 2019, my bad.
And then hear that. It's so crazy. It's been so long. But yeah, this is, I can't believe we reached over 150. I started working out this weekend. I got back to it. I kind of took a couple months hiatus because life got too busy, and up where I go to school, it's kind of hard to fit it in, to be honest. But I got back to it. And, dude, the first day after you go back and work out, if you haven't in a while, is always such a hard day. Like, the workout might feel fine. You might go in and you might be like, hey, I'm not doing that bad. But the after effects are crazy. Like, just a random part. It's always a different part every time when I go on a hiatus like this, but a random parts of your body start hurting for way too long, way too much, because like your muscles are like, dude, what are you doing, man? We haven't done this in forever. We don't know how to do these movements. What's a 40 pound weight? What's that? You can't do that, you know, like. And he's just getting back, like, right back into that. So I'm in like pain right now. Like, I literally, like, like my arm, if you can see on camera, I can't bend it. I can't straighten it without like actual pain right here. Like, I cannot straighten my arm. Like, if I have to like force my arm to straighten itself, and it's still hard. And like my legs are like obviously in normal leg day pain because I had leg day Friday. But it's like I couldn't even sleep Wednesday night, and that was the night I went back because my body was like shaking. It was like, bro, what are you doing? Bro, what is this? But, you know, no pain. That's the no pain, no gain mindset, I guess. Also, I a lot of people will do, like, you ever, like, talk to people who work out? No, I'm never going to pronounce, by the way, I'm seeing the live chat. I'm never going to pronounce Waf's name correctly. It's Waf. It always will be Waf. It will always be Waf. Anyway, when you talk to people that work out, you always get people who are like, okay, I always do like a full body workout, you know, and they're like, you always want to split things up and you always want to work a little bit of everything. And then some people are like, no, you got to do it like, you got to really grind one body part a day, you know, so that you can really like basically kill it in the workout so it can get stronger. Like chest day, you really only do chest. I've kind of combined the two because I feel like there's validity to both. And so what I do is I kind of weight my workouts towards a certain like body type, but then still have a little bit of the other stuff. So like I'll do a leg day, but then have like three exercises that aren't leg related, and then the rest are. So it's like a leg day, but not an only leg day, but also not a full body workout. So that's my suggestion, actually. I think it's been really good because it's like you still kind of keep some of your other muscles moving a little bit, you exercise them a little bit, but you're still like focusing one section of your body. So to speaking to someone like Waf, who's obviously a big bodybuilder, just a valid idea for you.
I found I alternate. Like I do like my push-ups and sit-ups on one day, then I do the squats and like arm curls on another. Like just to, like to keep it like I exercise more frequently, but keep it to where I'm not destroying my body. Because I used to work out every single day, but I did my full body workout every single day. My body hurt all the time, and I realized, oh, that's not good. But then when I stopped exercising every single day, I started slipping and skipping exercising because I was only doing like 3 days a week. So like I had like bump it up to five, but it's like I'm still like working too much. My body is like, oh wait, if I just divide it up, then it all works out.
Dude, that works out. It's kind of smart. And look at that, you're a buff guy, are you? I don't know.
I'm decently. I don't have like any body fat, so my muscles don't stick out as much as other people's. But like, I'm decent. I still kind of slack a little bit.
That's why I'm doing the weight gain eating stuff with it as well. I want to be over 200 pounds or 200 pounds by the end of the summer. I really want to just actually grind out that weight, you know? Because, well, I want to weigh like 200. I'm like 6'2". I got to weigh like 200 pounds. Like, I just feel like I need to get there for some reason.
All right. Okay.
Anyway, we have a lot of marbles to discuss. Let's go to the news. At the end of the news, we'll go through the couple of races. Read an email. Also, shout out to Jack's Marble Runs. We loved to have him on the episode last time. He's great. Just wanted to say his name again. And is there anything else? Any other announcements? MSWpodcast@gmail.com.
Marble Sports fans! I'm Commander Wolf, here with the Marble Sports Worldwide News. First up, we have Marbula 1 Season 4 GP2 O-Raceway. This was yet another fantastic track, as there were quite a few battles throughout. Unfortunately for the O-Rangers, they did not change any of their past trends, as they once again got 0 points at their own home track. However, Clementon did get 1 point for the qualifiers, so they have finally gotten at least 1 point. On a much more positive note, we have our podium racers. Royal, who came in first, Ecto, who came in second in a very great rookie showing, and Red Eye, who came in third after an incredible climb from the bottom, moving up 17 places. The competition is heating up, so stay tuned for more. Next up, we have the Marble Rally Championship Season 1 GP1 at the Wintermint Expressway. After several tough laps, the Punkers came in first, followed by the Black Knights in second, and the Laser Eyes in third. And finally, we have the Super Sprint Friendly Tournament. After some fun yet tough competition, the Icicle Incredibles came in first, followed by the Sapphire Spirals in second, and the Neon Nomads in third. Well, that's all for the news. Thank you for listening. I'm Commander Wolf. You are the best fans in the world. Let's kick it on back with the podcast.
We are going to start with the mail today. Thanks, Waff, for the news. We got three of them today. Couple from the same guy, and then we have Edu. And we love Edu. He always writes in. He always has something to say. So let's see what he has to say. Circuit racing in its place today. Edu GJ. 3 years ago, Marbula One was debuted, introducing a whole new category of marble sports. Ever since its inception, circuit racing is one of the most popular categories, often recreated at various levels. However, as years came by with the changes that have met certain rejection, loss of viewership, and small series disappearing without notice, has marble circuit racing saturated as of late? Let's think about this. I intended to write this before M1 season 4, so I'm not counting it yet. Let's read this question. However, year came by with changes that have met certain rejection, loss of viewership, and small series disappearing without notice. Has marble circuit racing saturated? When I hear saturated, when I hear saturated, I'm thinking, like, there's too much of the same thing, isn't that
right?
That's all you got? Oh, we both drank water at the same time.
You were both drinking at the same time, yeah.
So, like, the camera literally saw that in sync.
Yeah, I was like, wait, are you drinking too? I was like, oh my gosh. But, I don't know if I would say it's too saturated, like, because the only ones I can think of, there's Fubeca. There was RML, which has, it seems to be completely canceled now because I think he sold all of his tracks, from what I understand. Then there are other people who also, there are also people who buy the Corsetti tracks as well to, for their own personal races. But like, I don't think it's saturated. Like, I don't think there's too many people doing it. I don't think, like, because like that implies like the other part of the statement is like, oh, circuit races are leaving, like that's implying that the saturation is what's causing it.
He didn't even word it right for saturated. Has marble circuit racing saturated as of late? Are you trying to say stagnated?
Stagnated. You know what? Stagnated, that's not the word he used. Better. I think stagnated might be the word they're looking for, because saturated sounds
saturated
incorrect.
Is like if there's too much marble sports going on, and I can tell you that's not the case. We're really losing.
Yeah,
the feeling reached a limit.
It reaches limit. Well, okay, so I mean, in other words, so it's stagnant. So it's peaked. Like it has. It's like it can't go forward. Basically, there's like no more innovation to make.
I don't like the word saturated in this case, because saturated kind of says that saturated is quantity based, not quality mm-hmm. based. If you right. if you have a cup of water, you can dissolve salt in it, right? But there's a point in which right. it's saturated, meaning no more salt can be dissolved. Why is that? Because the salt is amazing salt and you can't make the salt any better than it is, or because there's too much of the salt? Because there's too much of the salt, right? So it's a quantity-based word. So I'd say that, like, in this, if you say saturated, then the interpretation is there's just too much marble sports. There's no more room for any more marble circuit racing. I think, I don't know what the best word here is for this quality-based saturation as far as, like, making any more advancement. Maybe it's just, peaking.
Well, I'm pretty sure saturation is not the word they're looking for. Like, in the live chat, they like said the feeling is, was that it's reached a limit. Almost, yeah. So, like, it's, like, reached a peak.
Well, I just wanted to explain that, because saturation is a form of reaching a limit, because saturation says we've reached a limit of quantity.
I guess.
But I think limit-wise, quality-wise, or advancement-wise, I don't think we've reached the limit. I think we don't have enough people trying to innovate. No.
We've seen it too much now.
No, only if we innovate. Only if we innovate, it's fine. And that's like what we want to see from JMR. I don't know, because it's like I like watching Marbula 1. I'm bought in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bought into watching JMR do Marbula 1 every year.
Think about it this way. Like, put it like, not thinking about marble sports, think about normal sports. Like, do you get tired of that because it's like they haven't changed the rules of the game?
The soccer field is the same size with the same lines with
the same
ball
same
with
size,
the same people.
The same team, almost the same teams are almost always competing with almost the exact same players every single year.
Right.
But like, people still watch it. People still enjoy it. Why? Because it's a fun sport to watch for them. They enjoy it. So I think the same thing applies to marble sports. Like Marbula 1, it doesn't really need to change much to be entertaining. The entertainment comes from like the craziness of like the cool passes, the narrative that's being constructed by these marbles who shouldn't be able to have statistics like this, but somehow do, and are
so
like
great.
Consistently like almost playing like they are alive.
The Marbula 1's current state and the growth of marble sports aren't correlated that well. I think like marble sports growth has depended on the quantity of people making good marble sports at this point in it, not the quality of Marbula 1, because the quality of Marbula 1 is already good enough, right? I mean, like it's good series that has quality that people can enjoy, that has retention. People want to come back. In fact, as soon as Marbula 1 went up, Gels Marble Runs finally hit that 1.38 mil subscribers. And I'll tell you what, they've been at 1.37, 36 for the last 2 years. So for them to finally go up to 1.38 is a big W for them. All right, maybe they're finally going into a time of maybe some small, steady growth. We'll see. But the point is like people like Marbula 1 and they're going to come back for it. I mean, how much? This is the O Raceway. I mean, this actually just came out like a few minutes ago. But let's look at like last week. Let's see how that did.
Oh yeah, I hadn't checked the views on it. How did it do?
344,000 views. I mean, and that's basically consistent to what we see year to year. So I think Marbula 1 is in its place. The problem with growth in marble sports is that there's nobody else doing it. Because nobody else can pick up their entire lives and devote it to making these videos. They
can't.
There
are other small channels who make content, but like they don't make it, I guess, to the same consistency as JMR does.
Right. And so to the same quality. Quality, time,
quality,
it all builds itself up. So, I mean, I think I think it's not saturated. I think there's a lot more innovation that could happen. The problem is JMR has done such a good job of what they do. There's no real reason to go crazy with it. People like watching this. Innovation would have to come from a different channel being like, oh, let's take circuit racing and go crazy. You know? But we're not really there yet because no other channels are having interest. I hope some other channels have interest someday, and I'll keep on a lookout because I'd love to commentate for them. But for now, it's not to be. Good email. Thank you.
Yeah. It's a good question to think about always, but like I think that I can't imagine getting sick of watching a sport of any kind as long as you still enjoy the sport and the foundations of it are good. Like there are things that could happen that could make M1 not fun anymore. Like mainly on the production side of things, but as long as that stays far enough away from the actual content, I don't think there's really much of a problem that we need to worry about.
Yeah, I would say things are just going to kind of steady out. People are going to watch. I'm going to watch it, even if we stop the show in 2 years. I'm going to watch it. I like it. It's fun, you know. It's a good sport, honestly, and it's just consistently exciting. So I don't think it needs to go. I don't think it needs to move into space or add anti-gravity to stay fresh, at least for a while, because it is good in its simplicity. Let's read another email. So this is from Kyogari Minty, who's also Gazi's Marble Runs. Thanks for writing in. My ideas for this season and next season of M1. Dear MSW, I just wish the Indigo Stars were in this season. GP1 and GP2 Quali were both great races and quals. Here are my ideas for M1 Season 5. And give me a little picture here.
Okay. Race names. So it would be like M1 Season 5. Not okay. All right, we are in Season 4, not 3. So the races they want to have are Indigo Isle for Indigo Stars, obviously. Then a Raceway because it's a classic. Sakura Garden, which I believe is going to be the
first time this year.
Sakura Garden, is that the Hazer? No, sorry, that's who's the Sakura Garden? I don't remember what team that is.
I want to say Pinkies. It's Pinkies? Oh, okay, I guess it's Pinkies.
Oh, yeah, it might be the Pinkies. Then Fudge Freeway, which I guess is the Chocolatiers.
You guessed right.
Pallet Park. Lime Laps. Oh, that's kind of funny. Motorway. Shining Roulette for the Shining Swarm. Yeah, no, it'd be Shining Swarm, yeah. Then Honey Dome, Plasma Ball, obviously, the Race Forest, and the Rojo Rollway. The teams coming in would be Rojo Rollers, Indigo Stars, Purple Rockets, the Jungle Jumpers, and the Limers. And then, hey, the teams coming off would be the Hazers, the Wolf Pack, Balls of Chaos, okay, Rise Racers, and the Savage Speeders. What?
Huh? That's not going to happen.
That's never going to happen.
You can't take the Savage Speeders off there. I mean, he does disclaimer. He says, you don't have to read everything, but I know you would disagree with some of the things I said. Well, I mean, listen, dude, you put the Savage Speeders on teams coming off in favor of what? In favor of what? The Purple Rockets? Dude, listen, and I'm going to read the rest of what you said. I think the Hazers are a fluke. Remember, the Minties last season after 3 races were in 3rd, and they finished 18th. I know this is too early to tell, but yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Oh, my gosh. The roster changes. Crazy Cat Size. Blue Eye and Green Eye.
That's so funny.
Blue Eye and Green Eye? No Red Eye?
I'm okay with Mandarin instead of Orange in. I'm not against it necessarily, though I don't think it's necessarily that smart. Pinky Dink, I don't know. Pinky Din. Wait. Momo, I can't argue. Mary, Zap, fine.
Oh, funnily enough, I was talking to the Momoakai, and like they were pointing out like Momo's marble looks very similar to Momo from season 1 of Marbula 1 or Marble League. So more than likely marbles have been swapped before with like their other teammates by accident over the years. So maybe Momo is already technically racing.
That's kind of funny. That might be true. Spade instead of heart. I'm honey hive. Fine. I think most of what you write here, I can agree with. I like having 6 new tracks. I like most of the names actually. So these are like cool. You can't. I mean, also by the way, at the bottom of this page, you guys see this? Like, look at this. Look at the camera on the YouTube. You just look at this. Look at the. I don't even know what to say to this. Look at the bottom of this.
Season 5 all over the place.
Yeah. What is this?
I don't know what happened there. It's just season 5, season 5, season 5. Mario the 1, season 5.
It's literally season 5 in columns written like 30 times. And then it's Marbula season 5. Season 5, season 5, season 5. Marbula season, Marbula. I don't know. Some glitch or something.
I'm not really sure what happened there. Yeah.
It's kind of funny. You can't take the Savage Beaters out. You can't.
Yeah.
You cannot.
See the rest of the email. I think that the Hazers are a fluke. Honestly, it's tough to say right now, but we'll see. Remember the Minties last season after 3 races were in 3rd and then finished in 18th. I know it's too early to tell, but yeah. Fair. Like that's a good point to make. But like that's why I haven't judged the Hazers yet. Like Cloudy is a former reserve, and reserves seem to be very good at Marbula 1. So Cloudy might see be a good continuous marble. Misty didn't do so well in GP2. We'll get into these races later, but like I think it's too early to call how good they are.
Yeah, I think you just gotta wait. But I like Cloudy. I think Cloudy has incredible potential.
I think Cloudy's gonna even mainstay. Maybe
you can't take Red Eye out. I mean, especially not... You watched race 2, didn't you? Before you sent this? Maybe he didn't. No, he didn't see race 2 before. I mean, any marble that can go from 20th to 3rd in Marbula 1, it's insanity. I'm surprised he didn't end up beating Ecto. I thought he was going to be able to outdo Ecto and kind of just leave it to Royal. And Royal did very well. But, this is a marble who... I mean, this is a marble who absolutely has proven themselves time and time again to be the best racer in Marbula 1. I don't want to go as far as to say that there's other marbles that can't compete with him. I think Speedy is almost as good. I do think Yellow Eye. I think Yellow Eye is a close second to Red Eye. That's why it bothers me so much that they threw Blue Eye. I don't know what the move was there, but Red Eye is definitely the best. I mean, I know then you'd be like, oh, well, why did he get 20th in the qualifier? Yeah, well, I mean, like, even in the best in San Marble Rally, DNFs twice. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't mean you're good every time. Mm-hmm. But look at his ability to adapt, to make use of times where there's mistakes, to handle situations well where he's at a disadvantage. No marble moves from 20th to 10th in, like, a few laps like that and then overtakes 3rd. I mean, that's really good. That's top-of-the-line racing in Marbula 1. So... that marble's going nowhere. That marble's going nowhere. Mm-hmm. Except in another loop for another 20 times, you know, like that's what's happening. All right. Let's talk about your other email.
Oh, it's the same email, but it has more paragraphs to it at the end.
Oh,
I guess they forgot to send stuff. And so they sent a second email.
Just resent it. And then he says, I know it's sort of... Also, the ramp on the Razway worked really well. Last year in the motorway, I hated the ramp. It was not good place, and the speed boost was much better. I might agree with that. I wish the Honey Dome was in the season instead of 2-mile turnpike. I like the Honey Dome. Casino Square and Sakura Garden seem like they should be interesting if they're themed well. I am so glad the Greenstone is back on the calendar. I doubt it will be the same layout as Season 1. I know because I'm a Patreon. Thanks for telling us. But it should be very interesting. Also, for 2 seasons in a row, Season 1 and Season 2, Yellow Eye won Minty Mania GP and CCE were champions. In Season 3, Orange and won Tumult Turnpike and Rangers won Season 3. I hope Hazers won't win.
Wait, Yellow Eye wasn't in Season 1.
Yellow Eye won...
Like, the Crazy Cat's Eyes joined in Season 2 of Marbula 1.
Yeah, but wasn't that when GP Mini Mania got his first... I don't...
They just said like Season 1 and 2 Yellow Eye, but like that's I think that's a typo. I'm pretty sure it's meant to be Season 2 and 3.
Interesting stuff though. Thanks for your opinions, man. I agree with most of them. I obviously Green Eye instead of Red Eye. I mean, like I would like a follow up email to understand that.
That's so wild. The idea that anyone would replace Red Eye at any point, with all we know about him, is ridiculous. Red Eye is still in their prime. They haven't gone down a slump yet.
It is actually crazy. Like, it's not... It defeats the logic of the RNG that Marble Sports should be for how good that Marble is at racing. Like, you know what I mean?
Seriously.
I don't understand. Why the Savage Speeders out? What is the idea? I mean, they're The only reason they're not the praise to be sung on in Marvel 1 is because the Cat's Eyes exist. I mean, they're a great team. I mean, especially with Rapidly gone. Dude, Swifty went. Swifty's a lot of potential. We're going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. But your rest of your points were fun. I'm glad you emailed in. It was a fun email.
Yes, thank you for emailing in.
Let's talk races. In live chat, you guys can go crazy, and we'll respond as we go.
Oh, yeah. Razway was so good.
Hi, Patriot Sean. Let's look at the Razway. I'm bringing it up here. We'll see if we have any analyses to make.
Oh, yeah. Look, man, that race is so good. Look at that yummy, syrupy race right there. aesthetic. Okay, let's start with aesthetic here, shall we? The new intro, it sucks.
The new intro is bad. The new intro
it's really bad.
Ungood. I love the old intro compared to the new intro, and I always got mad at the old intro because it's a 45-minute ordeal. 45-second ordeal, sorry.
Oh my gosh. Like, I guess they just didn't want to, they didn't want to or bother Melikus, or Melikus refused to edit it again for another season for, the new teams to be added in, but, you didn't have to do the same intro again. You could have done something new that still looks professional and not Let It Roll would say, a PowerPoint.
Yeah, it also kind of looks more like an 80s sitcom intro. You know what I mean? Where it's jump in. It's doing that thing where the large view is there's a million scenes on the wall and it's kind of jumping from one scene to another. Like they're all in their little separate photo panels and it's just showing little happy, funny moments, silent moments. And then text comes up in random weird colors. You know, it's like that. It's kind of funny. It's just really bad. So,
it is.
It's
not good, but on the positive side, I love the giant raspberry.
No, see, that's the thing. Outside of the intro, I think the Razway, I mean, they didn't do that much more to theme the track itself, but there's something about this giant raspberry bunch. You don't understand. When I saw that
the grass with all the racers next to the track?
Yeah. Wait, where's this?
Aesthetically, it's super good. They also covered it's a green tarp on the ground, but it hides the cement of the actual.
Yeah, the tarp is nice.
Workshop that they're in, so it all kind of blends nicely. It's got this nice aesthetic to it, it's so seamless.
Oh, there's the grass. I almost can't really see raspberry patch.
I almost can't see the seams, where the marble world ends and the human world begins. You know, it's almost perfect.
Yeah, it's really nice. I can't. Those giant raspberries are so delicious looking. They're so delicious. The giant raspberry bunch is crazy. I would want if I could pick one prop from the JMR room to keep in my home, I'd pick that raspberry bunch straight up, or the marble Olympics cup or whatever. Or actually, I'd just take the whole studio. I wouldn't be able to stop myself. But
race itself, oh my, you can see it right now, if you're watching on YouTube, but if not, Mimo did fantastic. They got the fastest lap, around, lap three, and then they kept it the whole race. And then, right behind him, Speedy's back in full form again.
Yeah, Speedy.
Oh, man.
I want to say.
Overtake right here. Mimo did so good in those early laps. Oh, my gosh, the racing, the overtakes, the battles. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there was some good racing. So good. Yeah, because again, when I see it, I'm going to do some stimping.
Oh, Momo, sorry, not Mimo.
But
my bad. Momo.
Yeah, I would say Speedy is doing better because there's a better dynamic between Speedy and Swifty. I think I think Rapidly was pulling him down mentally, emotionally, and just because of his performance and Rapidly's skill set. I think it was frustrating to him to race because the skill set was just elsewhere, right? So I think I think Swifty is just a different light. And Speedy can just come out a lot stronger, more confident, feeling like, you know, there's someone behind him. You know, obviously they've probably been practicing. So I don't know. I think it's all around better for Speedy. And this is going to end up being a great season. Speedy was great in the first race. Speedy is the star of the first. Did he win the first race?
Did Speedy win the race? No, it was Cloudy. No, it was very close.
Cloudy to me must be the star then. But Speedy stood out to me because I was most focused on Speedy. Speedy to me was most important to watch because of the way, like the necessity for him to perform well at start out the season. Because the one thing we'd always say about the speeders was, okay, Rapidly's got to go, but Speedy doesn't have to go anywhere. And he needed to keep that confirmed. Because of the Speedy's performance in race one, Swifty kept them, I believe they're in first place, right? Like overall, because of that. So, I mean, they're starting very strong this season.
Yeah. Like, in terms of, I guess, other teams, like Cloudy is like a new marvel to the team, but like, they're a former reserve from the team. I think they after the whole team shakeup, they've been upgraded, but essentially they like reserves in Marbula 1 tend to do really good. So I think Cloudy's, I don't know what it is about being a reserve that makes them good. Maybe that's why the reserve typically, though not always, is worse than the rest of the other team members in normal Marble League. And that's because their skill set isn't meant for Marble League. It's meant for Marbula 1 style racing, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, I can't prove that, but it might work. I mean,
I think there's only one reserve I've heard about from people that didn't do well in Marbula 1. Every other reserve does good. Like Arup from Primary is their big one. Mimo, of course, for Team Momo.
But then again, this is a different type of potential strike. I mean, Cloudy raced like Red Eye in this race.
They did. They
raced with a high level of potential. I mean, like,
and
you
Greg
look at
mentioned
a moment
like there's
like
a rivalry.
What do you say about that? I'm not sure about that.
Like you mentioned there's like a rivalry between team the Hazers and team and Savage Speeders from season one. So this is kind of like a recreation of that. I don't know which marble was racing against.
Like, how does the rivalry
Speedy
stand
then,
if you switch all the marbles out of the Hazers?
I don't know. Well, it's bringing it back, I suppose.
I mean, if you look at a move like this, I'm just picking a random Cloudy moment, right? And if you look into the YouTube, you'll see this. I'll try to explain it. So this is coming down a back straight. We have a chevron, right? And you have the Billy, no, not Billy, sorry, Mallard and Orange in front here. They're kind of bunched up. Speedy has a big lead, of course. And it's just, this is just great right here. I mean, I think let's look at a snip on this. Cloudy's in fourth place right now, and he has to deal with Mallard and Orange in right in front of him, who are all kind of bunched here, and he's trying to make a pass, and I'm going to snip this here, and this is nice. It's a combo move here. This is a combo move that he pulls off here, right? So what he does, and I'm going to pull up this marker, so I'm going to go with the purple. This is a contact here with Billy. So Mallard. So Mallard's going this way, and he rolls very well through this contact move because now he's pushing the inside. But because he pushed out, he contacted Billy here. Billy's now outside, and he created space for him to come inside, right? And so like this contact then follows up really well because now by touching Billy, he's reduced momentum. Mm-hmm. Like by causing a collision, he's allowed himself this room to pinch inside here. And it wasn't really a pinch because there was no reverse momentum on Billy, but it was kind of a pinch in a sense. Because then he comes down here. See, he came down here. Billy's like here because Billy's pushed to the side, so he has to roll. He has to roll on that outside line, and then of course Hazer Marble right here. The literal effectiveness of this
motion.
Are
you doing the Sippy Tool, Brennan? Because we're not seeing it.
Oh, did I not share it?
No.
Oh, let me. My bad. I forgot that I have to actually turn on the display capture for you guys to see this. Okay. So the thing is, okay. Let's just go back again. So you can look at the Sippy Tool. Sorry, sometimes I forget the very simple. Contact here. This contact pushes Billy to the wall. Billy has to ride this rail on the side. Because of that, Hazers can get inside on us. But the effectiveness of this move depends on the fact that they can contact Billy again here. Why? Because they lose speed if they just run into the wall straight up here. Because then they have to hit this wall and then angle off, right? Like this. Like, they have to make a big change of direction while Billy can just ride the rail. So it's planned. It's a planned motion. It's a bump here to then make contact here because it's momentum shifting. Everything about marble sports, because it's gravity-based, is about the marbles behind trying to find ways to capture momentum from the marbles in front. That's how you have to race. The best racers know how to do that in little ways. They can see the situations. That's why collisions make the most opportunity for passing and changes in speed. So you see in a situation like this, and we'll just kind of watch it through again, you have the collision here, and he does it so well as Mallard cuts across here. So he's hitting him as he's already going that direction.
Right.
Pushes him to the side, comes through, and then if he doesn't, he has to ram into this wall, but he is able to hit Billy, so Billy just knocks him forward. Did you see how he rolls off Billy forward down the line there? He took a lot of Billy's speed there. And then is right on Origin there. And he does lose that out in the next turn. I mean, again. But I think that movement there was very smart because now he's pulled close. He separated Billy and Origin, which will make it easier. And then Momo gets himself in there, and then things kind of change. But the move was like, the move
passing
was good.
Both of them.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, Momo. Okay, Momo.
Can we say that Raspberry Racers came back only for this track? Maybe. The Raspberry is a good track.
It is a good track. I enjoyed it. I think it moved at a very nice pace.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that move was good. That was just a simple cloudy moment. I might highlight another one. Let's speed up the race. But yeah, like you had some expert racing there. Cloudy finds some space, somehow gets around Orange in there later in the same lap that we just talked about. Just knows how to find space, man. Knows how to find space. The other thing about this race was that to note is that after this drop here, and I agree, this drop was placed very well. It has a nice straight to go with it before turn. There's that chevron about halfway through. A lot of marbles would kind of nudge off of it out of the turn before, and that was losing them a lot of speed. I think Speedy, I think I was pointing this out when I was live reacting, but Speedy succeeded because he later on in the race, I think about halfway through, started to really make efforts to not even nudge off of it. And like he missed the chevron completely, so kept more of his speed. It was hard for marbles to do this. You see the nudge from both of them there actually in lap 9, Cloudy and Speedy. So, I mean, it was a lot of marbles struggling with that. Some marbles were getting stuck and rolling right down the top of it, which is obviously not good. You don't want to change your vertical position on the track that much because speed loss, it's energy loss. So, but that chevron was placed in a nasty place. It was very hard to handle that and maintain speed on the course. I'm leaving that for you, Waff. I thought you were...
Sorry, I was talking to the chatters. What were you saying about the turn?
I'm saying that chevron right after, in the middle there, right in the middle of the lap, right after that turn before. A lot of marbles are hitting that. A lot of speed.
Yeah, no, it was always very good to see how whenever a marble would actually manage to miss it, and then like it's so much momentum going through. Heck, actually, this whole race is faster. I think that's like they mentioned that the conveyor belt is taller, so there is more verticality to the tracks, meaning there's more downward momentum. So I think all the races are going to be faster this year.
Which I kind of got the sense of from both of the races we had. Marbles were moving fast. Passes were exciting. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that conveyor belt. It looks great. It looks a lot better than the first one.
Looks more professional. Like they don't seem to get like jumbled around at the bottom of the conveyor belt. I haven't seen it happen yet. Like they always seem like if they miss one, they go right into the next one. There's like almost no loss in momentum, really, or time, I should say.
Dude, that's. I mean, I don't know how. Like, how is this made up of? Like, are those little like, I can't even tell what material.
Like some sort of rubber fin.
Maybe
like some sort of rubber piece.
Rubber piece or plastic piece. I can't tell if it's malleable.
No. I think it is so that way it reduces the amount of like how much they bounce off it. So like, it actually can bend when it hits them when they hit it or something.
That would make sense. So a soft plastic would kind of it looks like it could be a soft plastic.
It could.
But it just looks so professional. It looks like it belongs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it looks crazy cool.
And no marble can fall into like the gear system anymore, like what happened last year.
And Speedy's probably happy about that. Because that was race one, right?
But I think was it Rapley that fell in, or was it Speedy? I can't remember which one of them fell in.
It was Speedy. No, yeah, no, it was Speedy. Definitely Speedy. Okay. It was definitely Speedy. It's a great, and it looks so good. It looks so sports professional. It's crazy to me.
It does. Oh man.
Yeah, and like I don't know, everything looks so well done. You have like the flashing lights and the little officials around the track and everything. But I don't know. With faster tracks, this is going to be better. It's going to be better because faster tracks allow for more. When the top speed, okay, So going really slow is always possible. Going zero speed is always possible, no matter how fast you can go. So when you increase that max speed, you allow a lot more chance for different momentums, right? Because, you know, the more range of speed that is possible, the more range of speed that will be accessed. So you're going to have a lot of different types of passing, I think, this year. That's why you saw some pinches, I think, that were on certain turns that were just so fast. Like, marbles got out of them so fast because, like, the track has more tilt to it. It's moving fast. There's no times where it feels like the marbles are just wobbling, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. There is one thing I want to point out. Like, so all these marbles did pretty good. Like, their times are not too terribly bigger than each other, but Clutter is almost 20 seconds slower than Fenrir in the back. Is there, like, genuinely, is there actually something wrong with Clutter?
I don't know. I
didn't see them, like, if they get collisions or anything like that, but, like, as far, like, maybe they got too far behind, they couldn't draft anymore.
We'll try to look and see if we can understand. I mean, Blue Eye started out in last place, so he didn't start in last. Clutter didn't. Let's see what
Clutter
happened,
starts
though.
In. Oh yeah, Blue Eye sucked. So we're it's pretty much confirming that.
Blue Eye is so bad.
We knew.
I mean,
there were a lot of collisions,
so,
and Clutter
ourselves. By the way, I almost forgot to talk about this, but thanks for reminding me to rant a little bit. Woff, you're always good on that.
No problem.
let's look at the marble we've removed. Let's remind ourselves one more time of the marble that was removed from the Crazy Cat's Eyes team in favor of a marble who dropped to last place quicker than he could race through the rest of the track. Like, this is really bad. This is the marble we removed. Look at these numbers. This is third place overall in season two. Two first place finishes plus another podium. Only 1-0. And then Red Eye had 1-0 too that season. I mean, this is fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. In season three, he ended up getting about 13th of the 40 racers. 13th out of 40 is still good. That'd be where Smoggy was in season two about. And that wasn't that bad. So, I mean, this is just ridiculous. Why remove this marble, but take so long to remove rapidly?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't get it, man.
Yeah.
It's so stupid to me.
It is dumb. But, like, let's not dwell on it too long. Back to Clutter. Yag mentions that, like, they watched them for about, like, 6 laps. There were a lot of collisions, and Clutter kept hitting the wall. I mean, that would do it, I suppose. And then Jack kind of brings a point, like, maybe they got chipped. That's what I was thinking. Like, is there actual physical damage? Like, since they're moving faster, I suppose if they hit the wall, there's actually a greater chance of, like, that causing damage to the marble.
Well, I'm trying to see if there's any... there's a marble sports connoisseur moment I can pull out here and understand it. Clutter looks like he's racing as... he just drops back there so bad. Wait. Wow. It happened here in lap 3. Look at him. Just fall behind. Let's see if we can catch anything as he's racing. This is with lap 3. He loses the places. You can't really pull much out of that movement. Let's try to look at him. I mean, at this point, he just knocked off that wall badly, though, so it's just bad. Then all that gap. I mean,
like, I the point of, like, not having another marble to draft behind, that would affect it, but, like, even then, I feel like the other marbles, like, colliding and stuff up front would give Clutter a chance to catch up, like, right? You would think.
I mean, he's, like, actively decelerating.
Hmm.
Oh, a great move by Momo there for a moment in lap 4.
Yeah, Momo just did so, so great.
The problem is Speedy's just, so you can see in a moment like that Speedy's just too much for Momo in a point like, or Mimo or whatever. Like,
no, it's Momo.
Like, Speedy was unfazed by that pass. You see that? Speedy got passed by Momo, and he was like, he almost used that to his advantage to get then a better pass. Like, he doesn't even care. Like, it does not affect him.
Mm-hmm.
Speedy doesn't really get scared by many racers, though. I think, like, the only, I'd say Red Eye, I think Cloudy's going to freak him out a little bit, but Red Eye is the only other marble that he would really be freaked out by. Maybe Clementine. No, not Clementine. Maybe Orangin. But otherwise, not a big... Speedy kind of is what he is. I don't know why Clutter just... I mean, he very clearly dropped speed from laps 3 to 5. Like, it just went away. Like, you saw him drop back, almost like almost like he got injured on the track. Like if you're like running track and someone like trips or something and then everybody just blows past you, like it literally looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know, man. That's a mystery. Look at him. He's just leaving now. Like in lap six, he was just leaving as like everyone was like in the halfway, like sector two or something. So what happened?
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens the next few races. But like, I think there might genuinely be something wrong with Clutter. We'll have to wait and see.
I couldn't tell you, to be honest. I have no idea.
Should we move on to race two?
I'm just trying to think what it would be. I mean, I don't think a chip would. Would a chip do that? Maybe.
I mean, it would cause you to bounce around. It's like you would be a smooth rotation.
How would he get chipped, like drastically enough?
Could be over time, like damage, small, yeah, like because like,
but like, then it's not drastic. Like you wouldn't, what, you like, wouldn't. Like, he went from fine to very clearly like injured lap three.
Like. What I'm saying is that maybe over time, Clutter had more and more like small stress cracks within the actual marble itself, and then something recently happened in this race to then bring it all the way to the front, like of the surface of the marble, and now it's like a much bigger damage to it.
Maybe. We don't know enough marble science to confirm that, honestly. I don't know, man. I don't know what that was. That was... Mm. We'll have to see what he does. I want to see what he does next race. Because if he was chipped,
should they be able to replace Clutter? If they end up getting like, if it's an injury like where they fully like break off a piece like Momo, yes, because they have precedent for it. If it was sort of Marble League, but like if your team member is physically incapable of racing, I would say they're allowed to be replaced.
Yeah, but see, JMR would have, if they had a big chip, JMR would see that. And they would have, announcement would have been out already. So it can't be that. Maybe it was just bad RNG, man. I don't know.
Maybe.
But the you know, the Balls of Chaos kind of like are always receiving end of misfortune, I think.
Except for last season. Last season they did actually pretty good in Marble 1.
Yeah, but they're the Balls of Chaos.
And it is a different team member, I think. I don't think Clutter was, or no, the Clutter was there. So I don't know. I don't know. Mm. But yeah, race two, I think we should go. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the Raceway. Race too. I'm in the race too. Oh, Raceway. Obviously, love this track. Honestly, I'd give the Razway like a 9. I give the Raceway like an 8-9 every year. I think the sand is always a pretty solid addition to the, you know, the it's a good feature. It's a good way to change things up, but it's like consistently good. Like it's smart. It does enough.
Right.
I would like them to do, like, I would like two sand sections or something like that, but, you know, they never overdo anything.
Yeah. The actual race, like aesthetic-wise, they have the giant Oranger statues, which they had last year, and the sand, that's it. Like the small additions. Like, it's still, like, nice and professional, but hope to have, like, more aesthetic stuff coming on in the future races and especially future seasons. But
yeah, where's this orange tree? They should put one big orange tree right in the center.
Oh, yeah, an orange tree. That works.
Yeah. Yeah. If WAF can agree with me on something, it must be a good idea.
We agree on plenty of things, Brendan.
Yeah, but, like, you know, we also don't, because I can say some really silly things that you just, like, roll your eyes.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I want to see two sand. I know they'll never change this track, but I want to see two sand things. Like, one sand thing early on here. Unlike this first hairpin that they're going around right now, if you're watching the chrome, and then one where it is later, because I think that would just add more dynamic to the sand aspect, or like just some little sand features, maybe like a little dune or some sprinkling of sand at other parts of the track that just add to that feeling that sand is kind of a big part of this track and not just kind of stuck in there. Otherwise, it's a valid track. This is a good one. Again, it seems like it is moving pretty fast. Wow.
And they're going really fast. Like that's why this actually is the longest the O-Racer's ever been, but the lap time is, I think, shorter than last season, if not even shorter than all previous seasons, because like, they're going so much faster.
Short lap times are good, man. Moves marbles fast. I mean, this is the time when we first got to see Swifty, and Swifty did very well. Swifty had clear potential. I mean, I'm going to point out the reverse pinch here, just so we can kind of get a look at that feature. We talked a lot about pinches, but we have not really explained or really talked about reverse pinches. which is a very important part of racing. Because, okay, so we talked about the pinch. And actually, I'll draw it out for you in a second here, but let's kind of see it here. So I'm going to pull up the snipping tool, and then we'll look at this briefly, and then we will... I'm farther back than I want to be. I want to move forward. To here. Okay. Nope. I'm like literally want to be like 1 second back from there. Oh, I'm so frustrated right now. Now I have to wait all the way for the marbles to roll all the way in the 0.25 speed just so I can pause it again. Isn't that exciting, Woff?
So exciting.
Very, very. Okay, right here. Yes, good. Okay. All right. So we have our snip. Look at this. Oh, and it's not up again because I just turned it off. So let's turn it on again. There we go. If we remember a pinch, because we talked about pinches before, a pinch goes like this. Okay, you have a wall. You have a marble. You have another marble, and this marble is going towards the wall in some way. You have another marble behind him. He's in a place behind this marble, and he's going towards the wall in some way. And this marble contacts this marble in the front half of this marble, so say here, so that this marble, and I'll draw in a different color, this marble from the contact is squeezed between the wall and the other marble, and this marble in the front goes backwards, or at least stops, because momentum is sending him backwards compared to his relative forward momentum, and this marble, using that momentum and the kind of the pinch in the wall, gets off, rolls off nicely and goes forward and gets in front of the marble, but also has more momentum because it's not just passing the marble. It's also pinching them between themselves and the wall so they can take momentum from this marble and kind of leave that marble standing still or backwards. That's a pinch. That's a really smart racing maneuver. I think the first time we really called it out is with Red Eye in season 3, or maybe even season 2, but definitely season 3. Now a reverse pinch is basically the pinched marble's defense option to this maneuver, right? So like if a potentially pinched marble senses that this is going to happen, senses that this maneuver is coming, they have an option to defend against this, and actually a pretty good counter defense. So let's draw the wall again. This is the wall. We have a front marble going to it. We have the back marble following behind. Now, the back marble's idea, goal, is to get himself right here in the front half, like we said, so that he can, you know, push forward off of that pinch. So the front marble, if they sense it, and this is what happened with Swifty. This is just an example. There's a better example later in the race where it's very clear, but this is what happened. The front marble, if they sense it, and I'll actually draw right on the track for this one, they want to get, there's the wall, here's the back marble, they want to get in front, in this front half, so that this back marble ends up actually hitting the back half of the marble, which makes a big difference. And I'll draw it here, here, and then the back marble actually is hitting this back half part right here. What happens when that happens is that the back marble ends up losing out, because now they're hitting the back of the marble in front of them. So the front marble, from the pinch, ends up stealing momentum and going forward. That color was bad. Going forward, and then this back marble, because he hit the wrong side, just like in, you know, just like how billiards work, you know, like when a ball hits a ball, they kind of, you know, go off in the logical directions. He's going to hit the back, so he's going to go back this way, or he's going to stop. Like, the best he can do is continue this momentum, or he's kind of going to stop here, or he's going to go back. And so the momentum shift, the pinch, went the opposite direction than what the back marble intended, which is why we call it a reverse pinch. It's a reverse pinch is for lower level marblers, you don't want to get yourself tangled in that because it's easy to make a mistake. But if you pull it off, a reverse pinch can turn a pinch potential into a good counter defense for that pinching marble. Like, because you can turn it into a time to get some momentum instead of lose it and get past. So it's kind of a complex maneuver, but it happens a lot. You'll see, look at that again. Now that you know, now you can really see this if you're looking at the Chrome with me. you see, and this is Swifty. Swifty's in front here, so he is in reverse pinch opportunity. He turns the corner. Ecto's behind. Ecto sees that Swifty's going to fly this way, right? Ecto sees... I'm not going to sit for this. Ecto sees that Swifty has to fly left to this curve. He's trying to pinch. He's trying to catch him, at least on the middle side, so he can push out to the right by Royal. But Swifty stays enough in front that all that happens is see it. Ecto stops dead here. Stops dead. This is real. This is happening on the screen. This is really occurring. This is really a momentum loss. He stops dead there, and Swifty rolls all the way to catch up to Royal from that. He catches up to Royal. I think he even... Does he pass here underneath?
I think so.
He passes underneath because of that momentum shift. And Royal didn't lose any momentum from that turn, so it really goes to show the effectiveness of a reverse pinch. And not only that, Ecto dropped back a place.
Mm-hmm.
So Ecto went from third to fourth, Swifty from second to first. They split by over three places because of that maneuver. And that could have gone the other way. Like, think about the other way. The other way is the same thing. Swifty loses out to Pinky Winky, and Ecto gets second or grabs second or first because if it goes the other way, if he pinches right. So it really is a good defensive maneuver. It can work for either marble involved.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to put Swifty. I saw that early on in this race, and I was like, wow, that's going to be good for marble like Swifty, who's new. Again, this is kind of supporting what I said. Rapidly shouldn't be racing in Marbula 1, and the Savage Beaters have so much at their disposal. Why not put someone who's as capable as you can see, Swifty, in this race? And look, you put him in. I mean, you're seeing real potential. I will say he ended in 7th. I'll cut him a break. This is rookie first gear race. But he was up there in the top 3 looking like a top racer, looking like Speedy, basically, for most of this race.
Mm-hmm. I would say that I think the biggest downfall for Swifty was lack of experience because like they probably lost a lot of their stamina and like losing a position when they've been holding it so well up there at the front, probably near the end there may have been too demoralizing. They're not used to, I guess, recovering really quickly like Speedy is because they've had like 3 years to get it. So that might be, I think, the biggest thing is just like they are not used to the mental and physical strain that a long race like this can have, so the more they get in, the better potential they have to really like just take on the competition. But to be fair, Rapidly also didn't look bad in season 1, so we really need to see Swifty race in 2 seasons before we like to see how good they actually are.
Yeah, and that's why I stop and analyze like that, like maneuvers. Because I want to try to point out potential points. You know, points where I'm like, okay, there is some clarity here that he's doing a good job in the actual second-to-second racing. Because it's one thing to have a good race. It's another thing to be heads up and aware and be able to actually pull off tough maneuvers. I think the pinch maneuver, the reason it was really first talked about with Red Eye is because it's a hard maneuver to pull off. I mean, think about all the things that have to go right for you to be ready for a pinch or ready for a reverse pinch and sense it coming and be in the right position to handle those. It's not easy. You don't see a lot of back-of-the-pack marbles doing any reverse pinching. You kind of see single file. So, I mean...
Well, they might be, but you don't see it because, like, the camera's not on them.
No, usually. But really take a look. I don't think you see it as much. I think it's a lot of it's a front runner thing, you know? And I feel like I only see it with certain marbles and not as much with others. And Red Eye, the reason with Red Eye was pointed out is because Red Eye was doing it a lot. Red Eye was using it as a common way to grab momentum and shift towards the front. So I think it's impressive to see that in the first race from him. I can see Swifty winning a race this season, or at least, you know, podium finishing a couple times. I mean, he just looked really good out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we should highlight some other marbles, though. Red Eye, they qualify in 20th. Which I think is the worst they've ever done. It's and then weird. By the 6th lap, they moved up to 4th place. Like, geez Louise, Red Eye is insane. But even beyond that, like, Royal, like, has continued their incredible racing since last season, which kind of shows that it's not just, like, beginner's luck. I think the Cobalts really do have something. And Royal's another reserve marble. So, I mean, like, it's just another one of those instances. Yeah. And then we have Ecto. Ecto. A lot of, like, surprising standouts so far.
Yeah, Ecto was phenomenal. I mean, I don't have enough information because we only seen him race once, too. Right. But Ecto showed a lot of the similar potentials that Swifty did.
Mm-hmm.
Ecto, agreed. I mean, just had, and he's a heads up racer. I don't think I saw as much mechanical maneuver. I mean, but he was heads up. He knew exactly where to be and when, and he's just a fast marble. It's raw talent sometimes. I mean, he was a fast marble. And I, you can tell a fast marble when you see a marble race a bunch of laps in a row without much collision, without much nonsense, and they're still in the top five. I mean, you can be a slower marble and still win Marbula 1, because if you're smart with the racing against other marbles, if you're smart with collisions and movements and drafting and everything, you can still win and you can still do well. And that kind of falls more towards, I'd say a racer like Pinky Winky, who had a good race, but I wouldn't say he's the fastest of marbles, right? But you look at someone like Ecto, I mean, he's just straight up fast.
Yeah, true, but like I think that's a good point. The Pinkies are continuing to do good.
Yeah,
like they are continuing. They're upward trend. I think that like the technical director came in for one season, changed them up for Marble League. They won it. They left, and now it's like they seem to have completely changed how they approach competitions.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. All of a sudden, it's just like they've been. You expect to look down at the bottom four and see them there, but they're just not. Like, they won the Marble League last year, and now look at them come out. Like, Marbula 1, I feel like they have a chance. I feel like this team actually has a chance of doing well this year. Pinky Winky actually looked good. Like, it looked like they knew what they were doing. They held off Swifty for a good these last two laps, basically.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing. Like, Swifty, like, there was a one moment, I think, near, like, on the home stretch at the beginning of one of the earlier laps, like, of the lap. Like, they were, like, kind of swerving back and forth across the track, and that allowed Royal to get ahead of them. Like they have a lot of speed, but they seem to lack a bit of their control. Mm. And so they lost momentum instead of keeping it all forward, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's another power of inexperience there.
Exactly. I think you got to attribute that there, and it just makes sense. Inexperience is a part of the game for a rookie, and it's just, like, it's unavoidable because these races move so fast and have so much impact. A second to second, that inexperience will show, even if you're doing everything you can to try to make it not show. Even if you've trained harder than anyone else, like, inexperience is going to show. And experience will show too. I mean, Red Eye basically did nothing and then got third place. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Red Eye just went out there, was like, all right. And then just, like, all of a sudden, he just was up the standings, you know? And so experience shows, and so does inexperience. I think that showed because at the end, when things were, like, more pressure and marbles were making their push, Swifty kind of tired out, lost speed, didn't know how to handle that, and, you know, went down to the seventh. But still a good race. Billy raced fine. Billy is not the same as Mallard, so I don't know, but, I mean, not a bad race. Royal from the Cobalts, like you said, a reserve. I mean, there might have been some strategy there for some teams choosing the reserve based on this secondary event, and kind of just trying to train them up for a couple things in Marble League, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think the surprise for me here is probably Shining Swarm and Gliding Glaciers, but more importantly, the O'Rangers and Clementon, you know?
I mean, it's not really a surprise. Like, the O'Rangers, like, Clementon did actually get third place in the qualifying, which got the O'Rangers their very first point at the O'Raceway in all 4 years. But every time they've sucked at the actual race. Like, I don't know what it is, but, like, you were talking about it earlier, but I think, like, it this is qualified, I think, at this point to say the O'Rangers have their own Orange M1, O'Ranger M1 curse specifically just for them. I think this is the one instance where there's enough statistics to actually say the O'Rangers might actually be cursed for their own
For the one track.
For their own track.
I'd need two more years of consistency on that.
Two more?
2 more years. It's only been like 3.
4. This is the 4th time they've been here.
And they get last every time over their placements over the 4 times.
They've gotten 0 points in every single race.
Really? 0 points in every race at their home?
The one point they got from qualifying for this year is the only point they've ever scored here.
Really?
Yes.
Why is that?
I don't know. They cave under the pressure, I guess.
The only thing I can think of is that the O'Rangers are not good in sand, but does that hold up?
They weren't actually natively born in a sandy part of Texas.
I don't know. If we get a 5th year and they don't podium, I will officially, for this very specific situation, allow for a little bit of curse. That's what I'll do. I will allow, because I'm against host curse, but I will allow it in for this specific team track combo, a partial curse allowance if in the fifth year they don't podium. If they podium in the fifth year, I'm gonna call that we have to wait a little longer. You hold me to that, Waff.
All right.
So we'll see. I don't know, man. I don't want to commit to that. But it is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Anyone else to call out? I mean, look what we have from like 19 to 10. We got a lot of randoms. We got Thunderbolts, Bumblebees, Wolfpack, Blackjacks. I mean, who are we talking about here? Team Galactic was never really a big one in Marvel 1, so I'm not really worried about them. Raspberry Racers, I mean, I don't know. Hazers.
Mimo.
I guess only Hazers, I really was thinking about. That's it.
Like, they Misty didn't kind of, eh. So it's like, it's an instance of, yeah, probably shouldn't have replaced Smoggy. But Mimo had a classic instance of Momo falling down several places to the most race, and then like the last quarter of the race, they just shoot up. They were like at 13th at one point, and then they were at 8th at one, and then they finished at 9th.
Well, that's what happens, man. I mean, like, yeah. If you're all over the place like that, it means that it's a top speed problem then. Because, like, you can get there, but you can't maintain. I don't know. See, like, I would say that any marble that can have some time in the top five but can't maintain their spot there but, like, can, like, get there many times during the race just has they have a practice problem. They need to practice the courses more so that when they have, like, an open clearing, less marbles around them to work just, you know, on speeding through the track, they actually know the best lines to take and stuff. And I think marbles like that, like Nemo, just maybe need to put more time into that, even though they're a good racer. Otherwise, you know, the mid pack is always a very confusing group of marbles to speak about.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's all I got. This is what I'm thinking right now. I'm looking forward to Red Eye season. Who's not? I'm looking forward to Ecto season. I'm looking forward to Swifty season. I'm looking forward to Speedy season. I want to see Orangen do well. I believe that Cloudy is going to be crazy.
Cloudy's got some potential there.
I think Royal, if we see him again, we'll talk about him more. Otherwise, it's hard to really say. I think I want to see Mallard kind of rise to the occasion this year because Billy just doesn't seem like he's able to do better than that kind of those larger single-digit numbers. I mean, that's where I kind of expect to see him. I want to see something from Mallard this season, definitely. So otherwise, those are the marbles on my mind. Pinkies, we'll keep an eye on them as well. But we got to see how the season unfolds. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's all I got too. Like this is a fantastic season so far. Very exciting. Oh, okay, fantasy. I guess I should update on what my fantasy's positions are.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if Norik has updated for this most recent race, but currently, there's 100 people in this competition, and I am ranked 29th with 87 points. The first place has 151. So a bit of a gap there, but like it's still early on. We'll see how it goes. And then for individuals, I actually saw Yak updating this live, so I do know this is updated. I am in second place out of 17 people. With a total of 194, whereas first place has 219. So a decent chance, I'd say, for me to actually come out on top by the end, if things continue the way they're going, at least.
I see. Interesting. I don't know how my Yak thing fantasy is doing. I don't even know how to
I'm trying to find your name. I don't see it. I don't know if you're on the list. Oh, no, there you are. You're in sixth place. Wow. 144.
Who did I pick again?
You picked Red Eye for your times three.
Makes sense. You picked
Starry and Arup for your times two. Oh, no, sorry. That's the wrong person. Clementine and Speedy for your times two. My bad.
Those are good times two. Speedy's a strong times two. Clementine, obviously. Yes. He's not going to be 20th the whole season. There's no way.
No, I'm sure not. And then for your times one, you have Mallard.
That's a good Orangen, times one. Yeah.
Pinky Panther.
Yeah.
Starry.
Yeah.
Swifty.
I like that.
And Bolt.
Yeah, Bolt was Jack's Marble Run's choice. I don't like Bolt, but everything else is I like. I even like Starry in there.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, that's all I got. That's good. Let's end the show for today, guys. Waf, you can take us out. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. And yes. Yeah, I'm really excited for where the season goes. I want to see what the new tracks look like. I want to see what Sakura looks like. That seems like it might be a kind of an Asian feel to it.
I hope so. I hope it's going to be very aesthetically pleasing.
Like a garden.
Just before we head out, yeah, like, I'll let you know. Brennan is going to be available next week, so we will be taking a break next week. We'll come back the week after, of 2:30 or 3:30 EST, and then we'll cover both races 3 and 4 then. Hopefully we won't have to do that every single time, but like, you know, that's just how it is this time. But we actually give you a very good heads up, which is not normal for us.
No,
so.
It is not.
Alright, well, we'll see you all in 2 weeks. Roll on, Marble Sports fans.